أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala Binasri Al-Aziz stated that there are countless accounts of the love of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, for Allah the Almighty. In fact, every deed of his and every incident points to the fact that an ocean of divine love was ever surging in his heart. We find one such instance during the Battle of Uhud, where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, zeal for the love of Allah the Almighty was expressed in an extraordinary and unique manner. It is related that Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that on the day of Uhud, we came up against the idolaters in battle. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prepared a battalion of archers and appointed Hazrat Abdullah as their leader. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed them emphatically that you must not leave your post. If you see that we have overcome the enemy, even then do not move from there. And even if you see that they have overcome us, still do not come to our aid. That is, both in victory and defeat, you must not abandon your position. Towards the end of this incident, we are able to observe the intensity of his love for Allah the Almighty. The narrator further states that when the battle commenced, the enemy fled, so much so that I saw the idolatrous women running towards the mountains. They had lifted their garments from their feet, and their anklets were visible. The Muslims then began to call out, "The spoils of war, the spoils of war." Hazrat Abdullah held his battalion back and stated that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, emphatically instructed me that you must not move. However, they did not obey him. When they abandoned the mountain pass and approached the spoils of war, Allah the Almighty turned away from those Muslims. That is, when they left the pass to collect the spoils of war, Allah the Almighty also turned away from them. Subsequently, the tide of battle turned, and the enemy launched another attack, resulting in 70 Muslims being martyred. It is related that during this time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, along with his companions, had taken shelter at the foot of a mountain when Abu Sufyan climbed to an elevated place and called out that is Muhammad among the people. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that do not answer him. Abu Sufyan then called out that is Ibn Abi Quhafa among the people. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, again instructed that do not reply. Then Abu Sufyan called out that is Ibn Khattab Umar among the people. When no reply came, Abu Sufyan said that all of these men have been killed. Had they been alive, they would surely have responded. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not restrain himself and called out that, O enemy of Allah, you have indeed lied. Allah has kept alive the one who will humiliate you. Following this, Abu Sufyan then raised the slogan that glory to Hubal. And upon hearing this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became restless and stated that respond to him. The companions asked that what should we say? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, "Say that Allah is the Most High and the Most Glorious." Abu Sufyan then said that, "We have Uzza and you have no Uzza." Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said again that, "Respond to him." The companions then asked that, "What should we say?" He replied that, "Say that Allah is our helper and you have no helper." Thus, when the honor and majesty of Allah the Almighty and his love for him came into question, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was not concerned for his own life. And he immediately instructed the companions to respond. Previously, he had chosen not to reply out of wisdom. Hazrat Muslim Awd radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also written about this incident with reference to history. He writes that those companions who were around the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and who had been pushed back due to the onslaught of the disbelievers, regrouped around the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as soon as the disbelievers retreated. That is, the companions gathered around his blessed body and lifted him up, for he had fallen unconscious. One companion, Ubadah bin al-Jarrah, pulled out with his teeth a nail that had become embedded in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's head, as a result of which two of his own teeth broke. Then, after a short while, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regained consciousness. He had fainted due to his wounds, as I have mentioned earlier. And when he regained consciousness, the companions sent men running in all directions across the battlefield, announcing that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was alive, and that everyone should come back. The enemy had spread the rumour that, God forbid, he had been martyred, and the Muslim army, who had become scattered, now began to regroup. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, took them towards the foot of the mountain. And when the remaining force had gathered there, Abu Sufyan shouted loudly and stated that, "We have killed Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not respond to Abu Sufyan, lest the enemy come to know the true situation and launch another attack. Otherwise, the enemy would think that since the Muslims were not dead but wounded, and since they were only wounded, they would not be able to withstand another attack, and thus the injured Muslims might again fall prey to the enemy. However, when no response came from the Muslim army, Abu Sufyan became convinced that his assumption was correct. And so he shouted loudly that, "We have also killed Abu Bakr." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed Hazrat Abu Bakr as well not to respond. Then Abu Sufyan shouted that, "We have also killed Umar." At this, Hazrat Umar, who was very passionate, wanted to reply by saying that, "By the grace of Allah, we are all alive and ready to face you." But the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, restrained him and said not to put the Muslims at risk and to remain silent. This was a time of weakness, and if the enemy attacked suddenly, then greater harm could occur. And so the disbelievers became convinced that they had killed the founder of Islam, peace be upon him, as well as his right and left support. At this, Abu Sufyan and his companions raised joyful slogans, crying out, "Ulul Hubul, Ulul Hubul." That is, "Exalted is Hubul, exalted is Hubul," meaning that the idol Hubul had prevailed and had ended Islam that day. The same Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who had instructed silence when his own death was announced, and when the deaths of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar were proclaimed, so that the wounded Muslims might not be attacked again, and the small remaining group might not be martyred at the hands of the disbelievers. Now, when the honour of the one God was challenged, and a slogan of shirk, are you associating partners with God, was raised on the battlefield, his soul became restless. And so, turning to the companions with great fervour, he said that, "Why do you not respond?" The companions submitted that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, what should we say?" The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, "Say, Allahu A'la wa Ajal, Allahu A'la wa Ajal." That is, "You are lying when you claim that Hubal has been exalted, for Allah alone is without any partner and is exalted and majestic. He alone has the highest rank and not Hubal." And in this manner he conveyed to the enemies the news that he was alive. The impact of this bold and courageous reply upon the army of the disbelievers was so profound that despite the fact that their hopes were crushed by this response, and despite the fact that before them stood only a handful of wounded Muslims, whom according to material calculations, it was entirely possible to attack and kill, yet they did not dare to launch another assault. And so, content with the victory they had already gained, they celebrated and returned to Mecca. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would not allow even the slightest trace of shirk to enter due to his love for Allah the Almighty. It is related in a narration from Hazrat Ibn Abbas that a man once said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Thereupon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, that have you made me equal to Allah? Rather say that whatever Allah alone wills, not even the faintest aspect of shirk should be allowed to enter. Some people casually utter such phrases as whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Yes, one may say that whatever Allah wills and by His grace, and if He also prays, then blessings will be bestowed. But up to the extent of supplication to Allah the Almighty, that is fine. But the phrase and whatever you will is completely incorrect, because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, strongly disapproved of it. He was also concerned that people might turn graves into places of worship. But unfortunately, today the opposite is practiced. I have mentioned this before as well. The Muslims go to the graves of saints and worship there, even prostrating, whereas the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, forbade turning graves into mosques. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that during the illness in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed away, that is, at his final moments, he said that may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians, for they turned the graves of their prophets into mosques. Hazrat Aisha said that had he not said this, his grave would have been left open, but she feared that it might be turned into a mosque. Therefore, it was not left open, so that it would not become a place of worship. Nowadays, the authorities have made proper arrangements around it, railings and walls, so that no form of shirk may take place. So at least in this regard they have done something good, because he had intense hatred for shirk. Then regarding the proclamation of the oneness of God Almighty, a narration is reported as follows. Hazrat Ibn Abi Kab relates that the mushrikeen, i.e. the idolaters, said to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, now tell us the lineage of your Lord. Thereupon, Allah the Almighty revealed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. That is, say He is Allah the One, Allah the Self-Sufficient. He is one and unique. He neither begets nor is begotten, because nothing that is born is free from death, and nothing that dies is without an heir. Allah the Mighty and Exalted neither dies nor has any heir, nor does He have any equal. The narrator says that he has no likeness, no equal, and none comparable to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, never let any opportunity pass without mentioning the oneness of Allah the Almighty, i.e. Tawheed, and every word he uttered overflowed with love for Allah the Almighty. On every occasion, whenever he spoke, each word clearly reflected that the love of Allah the Almighty was deeply and abundantly embedded in his heart. Rather, his heart was completely filled with love, and there was nothing else besides it. Hazrat Zayd bin Khalid Juhani relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, led them in the morning prayer at Hudaybiyah, following rainfall during the night. When he had finished the prayer, he turned towards the people and stated, that do you know what your Lord, the Mighty and Exalted, has said? Allah the Almighty knows the states of hearts, and whatever thoughts people had upon seeing the rain were known to Allah, and Allah the Almighty informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, of them. People submitted that Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him, know best. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that Allah the Almighty states that among my servants, some would begin the morning in such a state that they would believe in me, and some would deny me. That is, among the people were some who, after witnessing the night's rain, began the morning as believers, but some were disbelievers. Whoever said that rain fell upon us due to the grace and mercy of Allah the Almighty, then that person believes in me. Those who said that rain fell due to the grace of Allah the Almighty, they are believers, as I have mentioned earlier, and they are deniers of the stars. In that era, stars would also be worshipped, and many idol worshippers of this kind also entered Islam and had not been fully taught yet, i.e. the teachings of Islam. So some people will say that rain fell today because of such and such star. And so, whoever said that rain fell today because of the stars are those who deny me, and instead believe in the stars. Thus, Allah the Almighty said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, just as you possess complete understanding of the oneness of God Almighty, so also inform the believers regarding how much vigor with which you must affirm the oneness of Allah the Almighty and His love in every matter, and must believe in it from the depths of the heart. It is narrated from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that a man came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, what are two things that make paradise and hell obligatory? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, whoever dies in such a state that he does not associate anyone with Allah will enter paradise, and whoever dies in such a state that he associates a partner with Allah will enter the fire. Thus, even today, this answer is sufficient for anyone who asks what shirk is. Just as the promised Messiah alayhi salam also stated, that to place trust in provisions, trust in one's own self, trust in one's own ability, and trust in one's wealth, trust in one's family and tribe, and to place trust in one's children, indeed, anything in which a person places trust without giving precedence to God Almighty, and places trust without proclaiming the name of God Almighty, he becomes guilty of shirk. Thus, we must continue to examine ourselves very carefully, so that we remain protected from associating partners with God, and act upon this guidance, and continue to create the love of Allah the Almighty within our hearts. Then in one place it is mentioned in further detail. Mahmud bin Labid relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the thing I fear most for you is minor associations of partners with God. The companions submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, what are minor associations of God? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, showing off. On the Day of Judgment, Allah the Almighty will say, go to those for whom you used to show off in the world and see whether you find any reward with them. Meaning, you used to perform certain deeds to show them. So now, gain your reward from them. Therefore, showing off, that is, artificial principles and pretense adopted in order to show off in front of people, are things that Allah the Almighty greatly dislikes. Because one is not doing those things to please Allah the Almighty, but rather to please people through display. And so, from this perspective as well, we must examine ourselves as to what our deeds are. Because in the next world, no intermediary will be of use in this manner. Only the grace of Allah the Almighty will be of use, and acting upon the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and obedience to him and following him are the real things that will be of benefit, which Allah the Almighty himself has expressed his pleasure for, because Allah the Almighty himself has stated, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That is, he instructed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to proclaim, that tell the people, follow me, Allah will love you. In another narration, it is related from Hazrat Abu Hurairah that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that Allah, the Mighty and Glorious, has taken it upon himself that for the one who goes forth in his cause, that he shall either return him home with reward or spoils of war, or else admit him into paradise. Meaning that either he will gain victory, or if he attains martyrdom, then he will enter paradise, provided that it was firm faith and the acceptance of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, that impelled him to go forth in jihad. Thus, the condition is that his faith must be strong and he must set out for jihad whilst fulfilling the due rites of obedience and pledging allegiance to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He then further stated, if it were not that I would place my people in hardship, I would join every contingent of the army myself. My wish is that I be slain in the way of Allah, then brought back to life, then slain again and then brought back to life, and then slain once more. Here the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed his deep yearning. Commenting on this hadith, Hazrat Sayyid Waliullah Shah Sahib writes that this narration is found in Sahih al-Bukhari and the words, "Lawla an ashqa ala ummati," that if it were not that I would cause hardship for my people, means that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had already experienced how eagerly the companions fervently desire to follow him in every act. And the majority were deeply devoted to emulating him. And his noble example possessed such attraction and influence that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would always consider the welfare of his people, lest his own actions should become a cause of hardship for them. In other words, if he were to make every matter obligatory upon himself, then it would eventually impose difficulty upon the Ummah. Hence, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that he sometimes refrained from doing certain things so that his followers might not be overburdened. Sayyid Waliullah Shah Sahib further writes that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had great love for Allah the Almighty, as even his opponents used to acknowledge that Ashika Muhammadun Rabbah, that is, Muhammad is absorbed in the love of his Lord. Yet, along with that love, he maintained perfect self-control, and reason never once abandoned his side. Those who act with excess in their deeds should learn from this. To follow one's passions blindly is neither a sign of perfect faith nor of high virtue. Because some people claim that they act out of zeal, saying that we must do this or we must do that. But Allah the Almighty is pleased with moderation. The pinnacle of righteousness lies in the middle path, for it requires a struggle against one's own self. Thus, there is striving with the self and love for Allah the Almighty both, and one must keep both before him, never proceeding blindly. Through his own example, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, showed us a path where the love of Allah the Almighty reaches its utmost height, and the expression of longing reaches its peak, and the spirit of sacrifice attains perfection. Yet, reason and balance are maintained, for even moderation itself is a command of Allah the Almighty. In another narration, it is related that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, strongly disliked taking help from idolaters. His noble wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrates that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, set out for Badr and reached Harratul Wabra, a place 3 miles west of Medina, he was met by a man famed for his courage and valor. The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, rejoiced to see him, thinking that he would join them in battle. But when he came before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said that he had come to join them and share in the expedition through his help. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked that, "Do you believe in Allah and his messenger?" To this he replied that no. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Then go back, for I do not seek the help of any polytheist." Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha further relates that the man turned back, but when they reached Shajara, a tree near Zul Hulayfa, 7 miles from Medina, where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to wear the ihram, that same man came again and repeated the same words. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave him the same reply, that, "Go back, for I do not seek the help of a polytheist." The man left once more, but when they reached Baydah, which lies ahead of Zul Hulayfa, between Makkah and Medina, the individual came again. This time, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked that, "Do you believe in Allah and his messenger?" he replied that yes. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that, "Now come along, you may go with us." Thus, no matter the circumstance, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's love for Allah and his honor for him, could not permit him to take assistance from an idolater, especially in a mission undertaken solely for the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and the service of his faith. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, that observe how deep was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's knowledge of God, and how cautious he was, and how intensely he feared him. And though he was the most perfect of all men, free from every sin, and though God Almighty himself was his protector and guardian, yet, even with all his purity and holiness, he lived in awe of Allah the Almighty at every moment. He further writes that he excelled continuously in goodness, performing deed upon deed of the highest virtue, and sin was entirely absent from him, not even its faintest trace. He performed the most exalted of deeds and constantly engaged in the worship of Allah the Almighty, and yet he feared Allah the Almighty greatly. Even whilst exercising utmost care in all things, when he would look upon the majesty of God and reflect upon his boundless self-sufficiency, he would renounce all his own deeds before the Divine Presence and seek forgiveness, repenting whenever the occasion arose. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 70 مَرَّةً. This is a narration from Bukhari that I heard the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, say that by Allah I seek forgiveness from Allah and turn to him in repentance more than 70 times a day, bowing before him. The number 70 in the Arabic idiom is to signify countless times. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would supplicate innumerable times. Such was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's love for Allah the Almighty, that he was always engaged in the remembrance of him. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remembered God under all circumstances. As Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also mentioned this, and it is established through many ahadith, that he was always engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Hazrat Samra bin Jundub narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, there are four phrases that are superior to all other words. It matters not with which of them you begin. It is best for you to begin all discourse with these phrases. They are the best and most blessed of all utterances. What are they? The first is Subhanallah, that holy is Allah. The second is Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. The third is La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except Allah. And the fourth is Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. That is, holy is Allah, to him belong all praise, and he has no partner, and he is the greatest. Thus, if a person always remains mindful of these things and keeps them in view at all times, whether speaking or working, they will bring nothing but blessings. Similarly, Hazrat Abdullah bin Bisr relates that a Bedouin submitted to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that there are too many rules and virtuous deeds in Islam for me, meaning that there are so many rules, commandments and virtuous actions that for a person like him, they felt overwhelming. Bedouins would ask such questions. He then said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, tell me something among them that I may firmly hold on to and make that my primary practice. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, that remain continuously engaged in the remembrance of Allah. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he should constantly be occupied in the remembrance of Allah. He stated that you should remain constantly occupied in the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. In another narration, it is reported from Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that the most excellent remembrance is La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah, and the most excellent supplication is Alhamdulillah, that all praise belongs to Allah. In another narration, Hazrat Abu Umama relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that Allah the Almighty offered to turn the entire valley of Batha, i.e. Makkah, into gold for me. I submitted that, O my Lord, let it instead be that one day I eat to my fill and one day I remain hungry. and when I am hungry, I shall fervently implore you and remember you, and when I eat to my fill, I shall praise you and thank you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not desire gold. What he desired was for God to always be remembered, lest an excess of gold and wealth would lessen the remembrance of God. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, bore such hardships and constraints upon himself. Or it can be said that his circumstances were financially strained, not because Allah the Almighty had not provided for him. Indeed, Allah the Almighty had provided for him in abundance. However, out of his love for Allah the Almighty and his remembrance, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, chose a life of simplicity and poverty. At the same time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would not reject the blessings of Allah. He would partake of good, well-prepared food and other blessings, and would give thanks to Allah the Almighty for them. Similarly, in another narration, Hazrat Abu Bakr relates that whenever the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was presented with something pleasing, who was given glad tidings of any kind, he would immediately fall into prostration to offer thanks to Allah the Almighty. All gratitude belongs before Allah the Almighty alone, and it is the demand of his love, his praise, and his worship that one should immediately bow before him and offer one's gratitude to him. Hazrat Bara bin Azib narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that when you come to your bed, perform ablution, as you do for prayer. Performing ablution before sleeping is a good practice. He then said that lie down on your right side and recite these supplications. I shall recite the translation of these supplications as follows. That, O Allah, I submit myself to you, I entrust my affairs to you, and I take you as my support, fearing you and loving you. There is no refuge and no place of salvation except with you. Salvation rests only with you. I believe in the book that you have sent down and in the Prophet whom you have sent. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that recite this supplication, for if you were to pass away that night, you would pass away upon the fitrah, that is, Islam. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that these should be a person's final words. The narrator says that I submitted that I will memorize these words, and whilst repeating them I said, وَبِي رَسُولِكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتَ, and in your messenger whom you have sent. I said that I would include these words as well. Upon this the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that no, say, وَبِي نَبِيِّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتَ, that is, and I believe in your Prophet whom you have sent. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was never heedless of death at any moment, and the fear of Allah was ever present in him, that every day he would sleep with the conviction that perhaps death might come that very night, and he would have to present himself before Allah the Almighty. Thus he lived like a traveller who feels that the train may depart at any moment. Such a person never engages himself in a task that will be difficult to abandon. If one has to board a train, one remains alert, lest the train departs or he becomes delayed, and so a person waits attentively for the train. In the same way, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was always prepared to go to his beloved, and regarded every passing moment as a result of his grace, whilst keeping death constantly in mind. Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that it was the habit of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that when he lay down on his bed, he would place his hand beneath his cheek, and he would say, O my Lord, may my life and death be for your sake alone. And when he awoke from sleep, he would say, All praise belongs to my Lord, who has given us life after causing us to die, and to him is the return. From this, it becomes evident that every night, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went to his bed, he would settle his affairs and supplicate before Allah the Almighty, that even if he were to pass away, his life should still be in his name. And when he awoke, he would praise Allah the Almighty for his favour, acknowledging that from his side he had already detached himself from the world, and it was only by Allah's grace that he had given him life once again and granted blessings in his lifespan. Just as the first supplication shows that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, constantly remained mindful of death, so too does this supplication bear witness to the same reality. There is yet another supplication that shows how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regarded every moment of his life as the final moment. When he would lie down to sleep, he would settle his affairs with his Lord as though preparing himself for every change. Accordingly, Hazrat Bara bin Azib narrates that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, went to his bed and lay down, he would lie on his right side and he would say that, O my Lord, I entrust my life to you. I turn all my attention towards you. I place my affairs in your hands and resign myself to your protection. I hope for benefit from you and I fear you, your greatness and your self-sufficiency. There is no refuge from your wrath, nor any place of salvation, except that salvation and refuge be sought from you alone. I believe in the book that you have revealed and in the messenger whom you have sent. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us this prayer and would regularly recite it himself as well. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes that people settle their accounts when closing their shops. In the evening, shop owners settle their accounts before they go to sleep, but they do not settle their account with Allah the Almighty. They pay no heed to it. But how imminent was that individual who spent morning till evening occupied in fulfilling the obligations owed to Allah the Almighty, and who did not merely fulfill them himself, but simultaneously kept watch over thousands to ensure whether they too were discharging their duties. Yet, at night, before going to sleep, he would close his eyes to all his efforts and acts of worship and stand humbly in the presence of his master in order to settle his account, as though he had rendered no service at all. He would not sleep until he had fully entrusted his soul to Allah the Almighty and declared his dissociation from the world and all that it contains, and placed his hand wholly in the hand of God. In one narration, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "To sit with those who engage in the remembrance of Allah from the morning prayer until the sun rises is more beloved to me than freeing four slaves from among the progeny of Hazrat Ismail. And to sit with those who engage in the remembrance of Allah from the Asr prayer until the sun sets is more beloved to me than freeing four slaves." In other words, owing to his love for Allah the Almighty, he gave preference to those who love Allah and those who engage in his remembrance over the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, that is, over his relatives and close kin. He was willing to endure them remaining in bondage, but could not bear separation from such individuals who remember Allah. How is it possible that there should be a gathering in which Allah the Almighty is remembered, in which his love is mentioned, and that he should remain distant from such a gathering? How exalted indeed is the station of divine love, a love which he was instilling among the people and which had itself reached its utmost perfection within him. Then, whilst counselling his followers that they should remain constantly immersed in the love and remembrance of Allah the Almighty, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the most beloved deed in the sight of Allah is that death should come to you whilst your tongue is engaged in his remembrance. Hazrat Abu Darda relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, "Shall I not inform you of a deed that is the best of all deeds and the purest in the sight of your Lord, that which raises your rank to the highest levels and which is better for you than spending gold and silver, and even better than if you should encounter the enemy, wherein you would strike their necks and they would strike yours?" In other words, facing the enemy in battle in which there would be death on both sides. Indeed, you may call this jihad, but the deed that I am about to tell you surpasses all of these. The companions submitted that, "Certainly, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, please tell us." These days, Muslims often claim that jihad is the most excellent of deeds. They do not cut the necks of the enemy, rather they cut the necks of their own people, which is the gravest of sins. But in any case, here the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is stating there is something even better than this. He stated, "It is the remembrance of Allah." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that engage in the remembrance of Allah, for this is a jihad greater than all jihads. Accusations are leveled against Muslims, whereas this is the real teaching. Then Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that there is nothing that delivers a person more effectively from the punishment of Allah than the remembrance of Allah. If one occupies themselves in the remembrance of Allah, then in turn Allah the Almighty delivers one from all matters and punishments. Owing to his love for Allah the Almighty, the remembrance of Allah at all times was most beloved to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It is related in a narration that Hazrat Abu Huraira states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "If I say Subhanallah, holy is Allah, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, wa la ilaha illallah, and there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest, this is more beloved to me than all that upon which the sun rises." Thus, this was the intense passion of his love for Allah the Almighty, that even in the final moments of his life, the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was occupied with the name of that true beloved. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to say, whilst he was in good health, that no prophet passes away until he is shown his abode in paradise, and thereafter he is granted a choice. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha further states that when the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's demise, drew near, and his blessed head was resting upon her thigh, he fell unconscious. Then he regained consciousness, raised his gaze towards the roof of the house, and supplicated, "Allahumma Rafiq al-Ala," that is, "O Allah, the most exalted companion." She narrates, "At that moment I said to myself that now he would not choose to remain with us. Rather, he was departing to Allah. From this I understood that this was the very matter he used to explain to us during his days of good health, that the choice would be granted, and that now he is choosing to go to Allah." Hazrat Aisha relates that the final words uttered by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, were, "Allahumma Rafiq al-Ala," that is, "O Allah, the most exalted companion." Hazrat Aisha relates that among the blessings of Allah the Almighty upon me is that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away in my house on my day whilst his head was resting between my chest and my collarbone. Among these blessings is that Allah combined my saliva with his saliva at the time of his passing. She explains how this happened, that Abdul Rahman came to me whilst he had a miswak in his hand and I was supporting the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. I noticed that he was looking towards it and I knew that he liked the miswak. So I asked, "Shall I take it for you?" He indicated yes by nodding his head. I then took it and gave it to him, but it was hard for him. I then asked, "Shall I soften it for you?" The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, again nodded his head in agreement, and so I softened it for him. That is, she placed it in her mouth and softened the miswak. There was a vessel of water in front of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And the narrator does not recall whether this vessel was small or big. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would dip his hand into the water and wipe it over his blessed face, saying that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Indeed, death has its hardships. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, raised his hand and began to say, "Bir Rafiq al-Ala," that towards the most exalted companion. And he continued until his soul departed and his hand fell gently to his side. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that Allah the Almighty granted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a choice in his final moments, that if he so desired, he could remain in this world, or if he so wished, he could come to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, submitted that, "O my Lord, now I desire only that I should come to you." Thus the final words upon which his pure soul departed were, "Bir Rafiq al-Ala," that is, he did not wish to remain in this world any longer. Rather, he desired to go to his Lord, and Allah the Exalted granted him the choice. Had he wished to remain alive, it would have been so, but he declared that he no longer wished to remain in this world. Thus, he presented himself before Allah the Exalted. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim innaka hamidun majid. O Allah, send down blessings on Muhammad and on the people of Muhammad, and send blessings and peace. Surely thou art the praiseworthy, the most glorious.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر